Hello and welcome to our live telephone town hall meeting this evening with Powder River Energy Corporation. We are live and we'll have Mike Easley on the line to give you some comments and some great information. We're running some polls. You'll be able to vote in those using your touchtone phone. Most importantly, we'd like to get questions from you. So if you have a question you'd like to ask live in this forum, go ahead and push zero on your phone right now. We'll get you up to ask that question live during our forum. We've got a little bit of commentary to begin with, and we'll be taking plenty of your questions right after that. Should only take a few minutes. So I'm going to repeat this introduction just a couple more times as we are being joined by hundreds of your neighbors, and we'll have most of our audience on the line in just a minute here. So thank you for being on the line with us. This is Powder River Energy Corporation doing a live telephone town hall meeting. We've got a little bit of information for you that we'll give you first, but we'd like to take your questions. So if you have any questions that you'd like to ask live in this forum, go ahead and push zero on your phone right now, and we'll get your questions up live to be asked during this live telephone town hall meeting. Again, we have Mike Easley on the line here to answer some of your questions, and he will be on in just a moment. He's got some introductory comments, and then we'll get right to your questions. So if you do have a question you'd like to ask, again, push zero on your phone right now. You can do it at any time during the call, but if you have a question early, the earlier you press zero with that question, the better chance we'll have of getting you up to ask it live during this town hall meeting. So once more, this is a live telephone town hall meeting with Powder River Energy Corporation. If you have a question you'd like to ask live, go ahead and push zero on your phone. We'll be running some polling questions. We're very interested in you sticking around to vote on those using your touchtone phone. And I'll go ahead and turn it over to Mike to get us started. Mike Easley, take it away, please.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us for Precorp's first telephone town hall. You know, it's a pretty exciting event for us. When you take a look at Powder River Energy, we are so spread out across the northeast corner of Wyoming. It's just amazing that we have found the technology and a process to bring everybody together for a conversation. Member engagement is the foundation of your cooperative's health. Without the members engaged in the affairs of the cooperative, without the members exercising their rights as owners, the electric cooperative model just can't work. So I'm pretty excited to have everybody on the phone tonight. I'm looking forward to answering the questions. I've got a few really interesting things to talk about throughout our time together this evening. I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about ways that we look out for your best interests, ways that we can, you know, show how we're providing a really good value for the money that you spend with Powder River Energy on your utility bill. And we also want to talk about Precorp's efforts to keep your service reliable. And those are some of the things that I think are probably the most compelling things to talk about. But I'm sure you don't want to hear you don't want to hear my canned comments. I think the ability for us to engage in a dialogue is really important. And anything that you guys have as far as questions that I can help you with, we would like to queue those questions up and take a few questions from people. I know we won't have time to answer everybody's questions, but hopefully we can get to the themes across most of your questions. And I look forward to the ability to do that. And if you come out of our town hall tonight with questions that you feel you need an immediate answer to, you can always reach me through the Precorp offices. And if I'm not available when you call, I will certainly call you back.
Great. Thank you very much. And we're going to take Wayne's question live first, but a quick reminder. If you'd like to ask a question live in this forum, go ahead and push zero on your phone right now. We'll get you up to ask that question. Again, this is Powder River Energy Corporation calling for a live teletown hall. Push zero to ask a question like Wayne did. And Wayne, you're our first asker. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question is concerning the RER mine that's going in, and the article in the paper here the other day about the fact that one of the mines plants that was proposed to be shut is Osage. It's my understanding Sundance electricity comes from there. So if that's the case, where's all electricity going to come from to do this?
Okay, that's a great question, Wayne. And The rare earth element mine in Sundance. In the Sundance area, we have the actual mining of the rock and the ore, and then that will be processed down in Upton. Both those facilities will be served by Powder River Energy. The way the transmission system works for Sundance is we have a feed presently that comes up from the Newcastle area or the Upton area, comes up through Sundance, and then it continues on through Hewlett and eventually kind of ties itself back into Moorcroft. We don't operate that 69 loop connected. There's actually an open at Sundance, so depending on conditions, we can open that line and get served from the south or the north. Next year, in 2015, we'll have actually put in a new substation south of Sundance. We call it the Durfee Station, named in honor of a past employee and director, Bill Durfee of Precorp. That station will tap the 230 high voltage line running south of Sundance, and we will convert that 230 to 69, and that will become a new source for the Sundance area, northeast Wyoming, and also the rare earth element mine going in up in Sundance.
Great. Thank you very much, Mike. And thank you, Wayne. Really appreciate the question. We're going to go back to your questions in just a moment here. And a reminder, if you would like to ask a question live, push 0 on your phone right now, 0 on your phone right now, and we'll get your question up live if we can. But Mike, I'd like to go back to you. Can you tell everybody on the line a little bit more about Precorp and plan?
Sure. One of the things that I wanted to spend a little bit of time visiting with folks on tonight was Precorp's grassroots network, and we call that the Precorp Local Action Network. And this is an effort that we've had going on for some time at Precorp, but most recently with the efforts of the EPA to regulate CO2 emissions, both in existing power plants and soon in newly proposed power plants, we have become much more engaged to try to develop a grassroots support to carry our voice back to Washington, D.C. So the PLAN is an acronym that we use for a special group of Precorp customers who have indicated to us that they'd like to take a more active role in helping us send our message back to Washington, D.C. regarding these issues that we're facing. So the PLAN network is something that has been going on. We have a goal to try to get in as many members as we can signed up. We're participating with nationally to hopefully prepare 1 million comments from cooperatives nationally to the EPA to provide our perspective as cooperative owners, folks that are fairly dependent upon coal power, as well as folks that really see the affordability of electricity as a key point of the economic viability in our rural communities. And so the PLAN network is something that we've put together to help us at least raise enough interest and concern so that we can make sure that our future power supply, that coal is in the mix on our future power supply, and that it is affordable, and the benefits that we receive in rural America from the economic activity around energy development continue to provide us good jobs across our service territory here in Wyoming and also across the co-op nation.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yep, you bet.
And we're going to get right back to your questions. And once again, if you would like to ask a question like Dave is about to, go ahead and push 0 on your phone right now. I'd like to go ahead and start us out with a poll before we take Dave. We want to ask you, are you a member of PLAN, the Precorp Local Action Network, already? Press 1 if you are, and 2 if you would like to join PLAN. Again, are you a member of PLAN, the Precorp Local Action Network? Press 1 for yes, and press 2 if you're not, but you're interested in joining plans. So 1 if you're already a member, 2 if you would like to join, 0 if you'd like to ask a question, and one more thing, if you'd like to get email updates from Powder River Energy Corporation, go ahead and push 7 on your phone right now. We'll keep you updated moving forward. Again, 7 on your phone right now to get email updates. We'll have somebody collect your email address, and they're just periodic updates moving forward. So 7 for email, 0 for questions, and Dave's our next questioner. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, yes, my question's about electricity rates. I know that rates are a balance between demand and generating capacity and usage, and I'm wondering what effect, if the coal mines in Campbell County drastically reduce their usage, what effect would that have on electricity rates in the future?
Dave, that's a very good question, and electricity rates are something that we work extremely hard to keep as low as we possibly can. Over the past year, one of the things that we've been talking about with our members is the rate case that we have had before the Public Service Commission. And we have looked at by some standards, a modest increase of in our revenue requirements of about $4.2 million is where we've ended up. The reason for that is, on one hand, we're seeing increasing costs, just cost of doing business. But on the other hand, we have been seeing the decline in the coal bed methane industry actually help be an upward pressure on our rates. So we know that in an environment where a co-op is growing, that typically your hope is that the growth that you're receiving is enough to offset just the increasing costs that tend to come with inflation and things just getting more expensive as time goes on. With our coal mine industry in the Powder River Basin, our coal customers use a significant amount of energy from Precorp. When you take a look at the coal mines and the industry itself, it's probably well over three quarters of our sales go to coal mines, oil, gas, and other commercial development. With the coal mines, if there was a significant drop in the coal mines, what would happen is the biggest impact is they take a fairly large share of our fixed costs, and those fixed costs then would have to go to other co-ops. And right now, with the amount of energy that they use, well over a great percentage of our fixed costs go to are paid for by the coal mine industry. The good news is there's some recent studies that are coming out that are showing that the coal market, at least for the next few years, is looking fairly strong compared to where we were the past year. Now, that of course is notwithstanding any significant impacts that we could receive from the EPA should the worst of the worst regulations come out that mandated closures of the coal plants that we've recently put in that totally thwart any new development. The worst case scenario for EPA regulations could have a pretty devastating effect on the coal industry. That's why we want our members here at Precorp and across the country to engage in this effort to push back a little bit on the EPA regulations. I can't give a number of how much percentage our rates would go up if we lost the coal industry, but because they're half our revenues, we'd be a much different co-op if we didn't have the coal mines. Obviously, there's a lot of infrastructure and a lot of jobs that we have at the company that are built around supplying power to that. So while it's not something that I think is imminent as dealing with the CBM decline, clearly everything we can do to to keep all our industries healthy, whether it's the coal mine industry, whether it's the oil, whether it's the gas, our small businesses. Lower power costs create vibrancy in our economy here in Northeast Wyoming, and to the extent that we see declines, it does can always put a little bit of rate pressure on us.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike. And we'll take Marco's question next, but I'd like to run a poll first. And we want to know if you would like Precorp to comment to the EPA on your behalf, and you can press 1 if you would. And Mike, could you explain a little bit more to people as they're voting what that would entail?
Yeah. If people would like us to make comments for you, indicate that on the poll, and we will actually submit those comments on your behalf, and we will essentially follow the talking points that I've talked about today, where we want EPA to keep coal in the mix as a serious and viable power supply. There's been talk about an all-of-the-above strategy for energy supply for the country, and we want to make sure that EPA hears from us that coal is an important part of our mix. It's an important aspect of the affordability of power for rural electric co-ops and the co-ops nationally.
Thanks very much, Mike. And thank you, everybody, who's pressing 1 on the phone. If you would like to have Precorp comment to the EPA on your behalf, again, that's press 1. And you can press 0 to ask a question, 7 to give us your email address. We've got a little bit of a backup queue there, but we will have an operator with you shortly. If you press 7, you're still waiting. And again, 0 if you'd like to ask a question. We'll have Marco's question up next. Marco, go ahead.
The question I have is similar to the last caller, but I was just wondering what the effect of the rates for the rural customers out there are going to be with the rare earth mineral power usage.
Yeah, I guess generally, and that's a great question, Marco, generally, anytime we have growth in our system, that's a positive impact. That's a positive impact on the co-op, and it helps keep our rates as low as they can be. It will be some time before rare earth comes on and comes into production, and the load levels that they have, while not comparable to this, the huge loads that we see in the coal mining industry, it is very healthy load growth, and it's going to have a positive impact on Precorp, which in the context of rates, I don't think that the rare earth isn't, there's not going to be an increase in rates because of rare earth coming up. And depending on all the things that are happening, I think just the additional growth for rare earth will help keep our rates stable.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Marco, for that question. Thank you, Mike, for the answer. Our next one's going to come from Jim, but I'd like to run our third poll of the night. We just want to know, is this telephone town hall a good way to communicate with members? So press 1 for yes and 2 for no. Again, we want to know, is this telephone town hall a good way for us to communicate with our members? Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. And Jim is our next questioner. Go ahead, Jim. Jim, you there? All right, Jim's question looks like he might have walked away from his phone. He's in Southeast Montana. If we produce power on our ranch, how do you have to hook us into the grid? Can you answer that real quickly, Mike?
Yes. Now, he's in Montana, I think is what I heard. And I'm not sure if Jim – I'm assuming Jim is on our system or he wouldn't be on the line, but we advertise pretty widely, so he could not – I'm not sure to verify if he's a Precorp member, but
I think he's saying. I think he's wondering if he can connect another area that's not connected currently to the grid in Southeast Montana.
Yeah, the best thing for Jim to do would be to contact our engineering group, put a call in, and actually we may be able to follow up with Jim's information and reach out to him and have our engineering folks talk to him about whatever opportunities that he has.
Great. All right, thanks. Let's get Steve's question up live next. Steve, you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Steve.
Go ahead.
Yes. My question is, I actually own some property that was had methane wells on it, and we have some power lines there, as many ranchers do, in the Gillette area, that the small operators have gone bankrupt on those operations. And so I know for a fact that the operators paid for the lines that are there, but now who owns those? That these things are all in litigation.
Yeah, Steve, that's a great question, and I certainly appreciate kind of the position you're in. The way the Precorp model works is the customers do pay for the line to be built, but ultimately the power line that is upstream of the meter is owned by Powder River Energy. So, you know, I can pretty much safely say that most of that line is owned by Precorp. There could be secondary drops, maybe, that would have ownership by those CBM companies. When those lines were installed, one of the things that we did is we collected a surcharge to set aside dollars to build a fund to ultimately retire the electrical facilities once, you know, at some point in the future that they were no longer needed by coal bed methane and potentially no longer wanted by if they were on your ranch, they weren't useful to you. And there are some lines that, you know, may not be a direct spur, so to speak, but maybe part of the main line, which may have use, you know, downstream. But we do have money set aside to retire that. We have been working over the past few years doing some retirement. Ultimately, depending on the needs of the landowners, what they may want for power, what the potential other growth may be, some of those lines will come out. Some of those lines will stay. Some of those lines will probably be potentially be modified to be more to be more of a design that would be used by potentially a rancher. A lot of that stuff is three phase. It may get converted to single phase, or it may not. But that is sort of the status of where we are. Actually, I have a meeting tomorrow with some folks in the governor's office and the Oil and Gas Commission to talk a little bit about what we're doing and the strategy that we have put in place to ultimately be in a position to take out those power lines when it's deemed that they're no longer used or useful for folks.
Thank you, Steve, for the question. Thank you, Mike. We're going to go to Dusty's question next, but I wanted to give folks one more chance. If you'd like to join PLAN, you're not already a member, and you'd like to join the Precorp Local Action Network, go ahead and press 2 on your phone now. Again, press 2 if you'd like to join the Precorp Local Action Network or PLAN, and you haven't had a chance to already. 2 on your phone, and Dusty is our next caller. Dusty, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I thought I'd ask my question. What I'm wondering is, there's a strong movement against use of coal, and if this happens to where Powder River's forced to go to natural gas to get their generated electricity, what will that do to our electric bill?
Well, I think the risk of us having to go to natural gas over coal is something that, if, you know, in a worst case scenario, that would be a long time from now. One of the things that was recently done, as you know, is the Dry Fork Station is a brand new coal plant. It's one of the cleanest burning coal plants on the globe, frankly. It's amazing of what they've been able to, you know, what they've been able to do. That plant is a 385 megawatt plant, and I think that plant is going to run. No question in my mind that plant is going to be able to run its useful life. At some point, they may have to deal with CO2, but the plant is so clean, it's not anywhere near on the list of them, like these other plants that you've heard stories of them closing down in Wyoming. That being said, what happens if, as the power industry moves to a high dependence on natural gas, there's a couple things. First of all, natural gas prices, because they're market driven, are very volatile. And if you've been paying attention to some of the news or reading some of the papers, there's already complaints coming out of what happened this winter with gas prices and flowing through those increased prices to customers has created lots of concern. So the first thing is there's going to be volatility in your electric prices because of the high dependence on gas. So there is a price penalty because of that exposure to the market. You don't have that with coal because coal does not have that sort of volatility. The other thing is from a reliability perspective, I can tell you from a perspective of a plant operator, you know, you're at the coal plant, you have your silos full of fuel and you have a coal pile in which you can, you know, in a worst case scenario of some natural disaster, you have a fuel supply right there on site that most of these power plants can run for probably a month, maybe a little longer depending on where they've invested. So you can look out and see your fuel supply. If you're a very large gas plant, whether you're combined cycle or simple cycle, you're looking at a pipeline and a valve, and that's where your fuel's coming from. And there is I think there's a significant amount of risk to the underlying reliability of our electrical grid from a high gas dependence compared to what you see when you have the stable fuel supply that is a known and, you know, a known quantity on your side. So the short answer is on that price risk in the short term, and then more of a potential fuel supply reliability issues that are more of a bigger picture utility issue to deal with. But from a customer perspective, there's no question the gas market has volatility, much more volatility in price when compared to coal.
Great. Thank you, Dusty, for the question. And thank you, Mike. Let's get our next question up, and it's Rick. Rick, go ahead, please.
Yeah. Hi, Rick. Hi, how are you?
Great.
My question was greatly answered in your last response. My question was basically with the aggressiveness of the EPA to go after coal plants, what would be a viable and realistic option and at what cost and how quickly? But as I said, you covered it pretty well.
Well, you know, Rick, I think your concerns are pretty valid. There has been a huge push from the EPA to, you know, on one hand, you know, you hear politicians talk about an all of the above energy strategy, and then you see rules that are making it harder and harder and harder to keep, you know, coal in the mix, and it's really important for pre-court membership, for the other co-op members across the country to voice our concerns about this because we have the most to lose. We have the most at stake. Companies that investor-owned utilities typically, you know, they look to the regulators to give them permission to write off these expenses or pass them on to their customers. And if it passes the regulatory hurdles, then, you know, they just write it off, but the customers pick up the tab. And in the co-op model, you know, we have customers, but the customers are also the owners of the company. And so I think we are much more incentivized to make sure that we keep coal in the mix, not only for the affordability of the power, but the economic fabric of rural America, you know, that some of the greatest jobs that we have are built around the energy industry, whether it's, you know, whether it's oil, gas, coal. There's a huge economic supply chain throughout rural America that we depend upon. We depend upon affordable power, and we also have, you know, local control of our fuel supply and of our generation. It's it's a pretty significant risk that we face if the co-op nation, and when I say the co-op nation, I talk about the 900 co-ops across the country covering 70% of the nation's land mass. So co-op nation is a term that we sort of use, but if co-op nation is silent on this issue and doesn't push back, the perspective that we need EPA to hear, nobody's going to make that but us. And so it's extremely important for us to be involved. I appreciate you folks being on the phone tonight, considering whether you want to join our local action network, whether you'd like to give us permission to make comments on your behalf. But more importantly, talk to your neighbors. This isn't a Chicken Little, the sky is falling issue. It's the kind of issue that is a serious issue that we can make a difference. And because of the power of the co-op network, we can collectively generate 1 million comments and put those on the doorstep of EPA. And that will change the trajectory of what they're doing. It won't stop what they have to do. It won't stop, you know, some of the legal decisions that have been made out there regarding CO2, but it will change the trajectory. It will keep coal in the mix, and I think ultimately it will increase the economic well-being of rural America.
Great. Thank you very much, Rick, for being on, and thank you for that answer. We're going to go to Jim's question next.
Jim, hi, Jim.
Hi, Mike. Can you hear me?
I can. What's your question, Jim? How can I help you?
I understand you've done, you know, you're doing a lot of new construction in your entire network. But my question is there anything in the works to come back in on your older systems that, you know, were built back in the 50s when electricity first came in to upgrade the system where you've got, we're getting a lot of sag in the lines, and I realize you do the core samples on the poles, and you kind of keep an eye on them. But as far as a lot of this old line, you know, it's a lot of sag, and I think part of it might be why we get a lot of those power glitches when the wind blows. And I was just wondering if there was anything in your operation plan that would come in to say improve those lines.
Boy, Jim, that is a great question, and I tell you, of the three most important things that our members talk to us about, one is that they know that we're looking out for their best interest. Number two, that we're providing a good value for the money spent. The reliability of our system is right in there with those top three things. And one of the things that that we have been working on since I've been here is ways to increase our reliability, ways to deal with trying to keep a more reliable system. And I can tell you, you know, when you have 10,000 miles of power line spread across 16,000 square miles of service territory, it's not an easy job. And, you know, kudos to the Precorp team and the linemen and our operations folks that are out there in all elements trying to keep the lights on. And kudos to our engineering group and our customer service group who all work in concert to do that. But specifically, one of the things that we've been working on is a system-wide maintenance plan, and we have put together probably one of the best maintenance plans that is existing in the co-op network. This maintenance plan is based upon standards that come to us from RUS, who is one of that RUS is one of our lenders. They're also the government entity that helped start co-ops back in the 30s, the National Electric Codes, all those requirements have been put into our maintenance plan. And essentially what our maintenance plan does is we actually are doing hands-on inspection and structure-by-structure hardware tightening and documentation of the system condition of 20% of our system each year. And when you hear me say that, that sounds kind of easy, that, well, that's 20% of their system. But what that means is we have linemen and crew people last year that went to 40,000 points in our system, tightened hardware, inspected the power lines, documented the condition of the poles, took pictures of it, inspected the wire, tightened any loose connections that they found. And incidentally, if there was a pole that was bad, it was changed out, you know, as immediately as we could if it was urgent, or it was put on a list to come back and change out depending on the shape of the pole within a short amount of time. So we have a planned maintenance program for follow-up as well. But what we accomplished that last year, and that is a testament to the commitment of our people, from our customer service to our engineering to the guys that were in the field doing it. So what they've done is 20% of our system has just gone through this maintenance plan, and we have seen a huge number of a huge decrease in the number of outages per members in 2014 compared to just going back 2 years. It's a significant increase in reliability. Now, this year we'll get 20 more percent, and in 3 years we'll have, within 5 years we'll have gone through our complete system. And not only are we making sure what's there is working well, but this is our guys are getting a very good look at the system that we have, and then engineering has taken that data and using that to do our normal planned replacements. We have a construction work plan where we plan out within a 3 to 5 year time frame of changing out some of this old line that just needs to get replaced. And I can't don't have time to go into the projects on that tonight, but we spend several million dollars a year going through these lines and rebuilding them. So we have lots of old system out there. I wish that we could make it I wish that we could get to it quicker, but the idea of this maintenance plan is putting us in a position within 5 years, we will have not only gone through the system completely, but we will have probably the best information that we've had ever since I've been here that I can remember of having to plan when we need to get certain lines replaced. We can properly prioritize that, and hopefully, Jim, will be, you know, the blinking lights that you're seeing will be decreasing. Certainly would encourage you to call in to the office and give your meter number or your physical location, because we do follow up on any type of power quality issues. And sometimes, you know, there could be a tree in the line. It could be a piece of equipment on the line that's not holding the voltage. And there's no reason to accept just accept it as that's the normal state of business. If your lights are continually blinking, call us and give us a chance to get out there and do what we do to make your service more reliable. I mean, I think that's what you pay for, and that's our job, is to try to keep that power as high quality as we possibly can for you.
Great. Thank you very much. And let's get Helen's question up live real quick next.
Yeah,
Helen, go ahead.
This is concerning the fact that even though the city of Gillette and Rapid City are not part of the co-op, they are certainly impacted by the EPA measures to remove coal or a certain amount of coal from the mix. So have we tried in some way to coordinate with them? Because they are also negatively impacted. Their rates will also go up, and there are a lot of people involved there.
Yeah, you know, that is a great question and a good suggestion, Helen. I know that utilities there's good coordination on some high level comments as it relates to some of the bigger things facing Wyoming, like the EPA rules on regional haze. But I'm not aware of folks actually taking the effort that we have done here with Powder River Energy, along with the rest of our co-ops, to make sure that those comments are heard. Interestingly enough, the time to comment on EPA regulations for new plants wraps up here in just another few weeks. But beginning in June, there's going to be the rules for existing coal plants are going to be unveiled, and there will be a comment period. And Helen, I can promise you that I'm going to take your suggestion and make sure that we work with those entities to make sure that when we're commenting on our existing coal plants, that we've tried our best to involve them.
Great. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that, Helen. And Mike, we've just about run out of time. I would like to mention to anybody who didn't get their question answered, you can leave us a voicemail message when we close out this call. You'll be prompted to press 1. You can leave us a voicemail message if you want us to get back to you. Make sure you leave your name and your phone number. And thank you, everybody, for all your great questions tonight. We really do appreciate it. Before we close out, though, Mike, could you give us a little bit of an update on the rate case?
Sure. Thank you very much. Just before we leave, the Precorp's filed its rate case. We had a contested hearing, which means that there were two customers that intervened in the rate case, Anadarko and Denbury. And while everybody agreed that the amount of money that Precorp needed was appropriate, there was some questions on the actual rate design. And so that really those questions actually affected people within a specific rate class. And the idea was one proposal would affect customers one way, and then another proposal shifted costs between customers. That rate case has been briefed, and we are waiting for a decision from the Public Service Commission, hopefully in the next few weeks. The Precorp is the only co-op in the state that's rate regulated. It's a arduous process to go through. I think both sides of the issue brought to bear a lot of information to compel the commission. I hope that Precorp's position will be upheld by the commission, or at least very closely, closely supported. Although they may change and give us an order that may be something that we didn't expect, but we felt like it was important enough to go to the commission with that and have them decide, because we could not come to terms with the customer group that was contesting the rates. I would like to tell everybody thank you so much for joining us tonight. I hope that we've been able to give you a little more information on your co-op. I hope that perhaps that I may have inspired you a little bit to reach out to your neighbors and encourage them to be part of our local action network, help them understand the importance of putting all our voices together so we can be heard in Washington and specifically at the EPA. And I look forward to the opportunity to address our membership in the near future and to talk a little bit more about the proposed rules that are going to be coming out for our existing coal plants. And that is an issue for us, because we have those coal plants that are part of our communities, people that work there, economic activity that we all need from those plants. It's a big issue, and I hope that we can be even more engaged on the existing coal plant regulations than we have been on the new coal plant regulations, and I look forward to the next time that we have to visit.
Great. Thank you very much, Mike. And again, if you would like to leave us a message and get a call back, just wait until we close out this call, and you'll have an opportunity to leave us that message. Be sure to leave your message, your question, as well as your phone number and your name. Thank you, everybody, for being on the line with us. Thank you to Mike Easley for your great answers to all those great questions, and have a great evening, everybody.